Welcome to the Online Marketing Kickstart, and this is for small businesses and lots of tips. The booklet that goes along with this, the ebook, was mailed. It was attached to the email that you received in with this recording or with the information about the recording. So in the same email down at the bottom, if you click on that, you can download the ebook. And there's also another attachment I put, which was the Fundamental Marketing Questions Checklist. Okay, so that's also there. So this is Beverly Taylor, and just briefly about me, for 18 years I worked in Silicon Valley in high tech, large corporations, and medium-sized corporations too. And what I did was started out with programming and business analysis and moved into project management of large computer systems for sales and marketing. And I even managed actually the website of one of my companies way back when this was so early and back in the days when you actually had to type in the HTML code in order to program a website. And that department worked for me. They didn't know where to put it. They said, well, you're the most logical. You're the closest to anything like this, so this department works for you now. Okay. It was back in the days when it was all so new. So anyway, that's sort of my background. And then I became a hypnotherapist 16 years ago. And I wanted to really help people. That was my desire, was to get away from budgets and corporate nonsense and things like that. And of course, what's so funny is within months, I had a website and I had email marketing. And this is back in 2000. But I jumped into it because, of course, that's what I enjoyed doing also. And as I went along, I would look at the web or like the internet setup of other hypnotherapists, and I was pretty disillusioned or unhappy for them and for my profession, because it was really sad to see how poor it was. You know, terrible looking websites or no websites. They didn't know how to get onto Google Maps. They just didn't know how to do that. And then I also knew that as a hypnotherapist, if I had a whole day of clients, I'd get home and go, oh, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to do any marketing. So I really knew what it was like to have, actually to do really well with marketing so that I had a full set of clients, and then to go home and do the marketing was a lot of work. And I also went through, you know, the economic crash of 2008. And right around then was also the time when people stopped using Yellow Pages. And so all of a sudden my Yellow Pages ads didn't work at all, but I was paying for them and I had a contract and things like that. And I realized I've really got to get good at the internet. And even though I had been on the internet for all those years, I had to be really good. So I did that and learned how to do it and kept learning. And it is fun for me. I happen to enjoy this kind of stuff. And the bottom line is there, I got an aha moment one day. And I said, you know, why don't I help other small business people to do this work? Because at that point, I just felt to do something different or more. I still see clients sometimes, but I've actually pretty much almost stopped that marketing. It's interesting if you think about it. A lot of small business people usually are trying to add marketing. I've two major times in my career as a hypnotherapist had to reduce marketing because I had to make sure I didn't get too many clients. So anyway, I've done all of that. And that's what spurred it on, though, is that I can really help more people if I help small business people be successful, or especially what I like to use the term solopreneur, which are entrepreneurs that are by themselves. And that's my image, and I'll be talking later on another class about an avatar, which is who is your client, who is your customer. And my avatar is a solopreneur, meaning a single person who is an entrepreneur working by themselves. Of course, with the background that I have of being a hypnotherapist, I also have a lot of people who I'm in contact with who are hypnotherapists, but I also life coaches because I'm actually certified as a in a form of life coaching that uses hypnosis. And I've just grown from there because really any business, any small business works. And a solopreneur doesn't mean that they have no staff, okay? They might have some. But that's who my avatar is a solopreneur in general. But it's a small business person. Okay, so the whole goal here is to know what to do and why to do it. Because what I found in learning about online marketing is there's a lot of stuff out there about how to do this, how to do that, the how, but not the why, and even not the what. So over these years that I've been talking to hypnotists, especially about marketing, a lot of them would say, oh, I have LinkedIn. I go, yeah, so? I didn't say it that way. I was not mean. But they had no clue that that wasn't important to most of them. Because then I would ask, well, is that your market? Are business people your market? And they would say, no, I'm helping people stop smoking and lose weight, blah, 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 that type of thing. So I said, you see, LinkedIn is essentially not where you want to do any marketing. If you were doing hypnosis for corporations or something like that, or for salespeople or something like that, something where really it's a business environment, then yes, market through LinkedIn. And feel free to use LinkedIn groups, you know, just to share with other hypnotists, people who are your colleagues, but otherwise it's not helpful to you at all. And that would be typically an aha moment for the person. Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about, the why. Because I want to help you save time and not, you know, start working on something that is not going to help you at all. Okay, so that's the goal of, one of the goals of the class. Okay. So, the why online marketing. Okay, and I do understand how that it can be overwhelming, as I talked about it. So that's why it's so important to make sure that you focus. You still need to establish your brand, and that's why you want a cohesive marketing that works together, and not just a piece here, a piece there, and a little bit here, dabbling over here and there. You need to understand who your target market is, your target audience. Who is your audience? We'll be talking about this especially next class. And how essential that is, okay? And it's really important for the online marketing to get this done. Now, there's a lot of tools. Now, the good thing is, yeah, there's a huge amount of tools. In a way, that's good. In a way, that's bad, because then there's a lot to choose from. I'll give you another example is I was talking with a hypnotist who one of her specialties is children and teens. And so I said, well, you can try Instagram, because that's where the teenagers are. But other than that, I don't know. It's not going to be necessarily the best. Now, with other people, they said, oh, why don't I use Instagram? Okay, are teens your market or the 20-somethings? No. Well, forget it. Don't even try. So even, and actually she did a test with Instagram and nothing happened. And really, in general, what I believe is with teens and children, guess who's doing the searching? It's the parents. And in my case, every single child, whether they be six-year-olds all the way up to 18, they always, the person who called me first was their parent, in my case. Now, other people may have had teens call, but I have not. I did not have any. So, you see, that's why you need to know. So why waste your time on Instagram when you really need to look for the parents in that case, for example, if children and teens are your main, one of your specialties. Okay, so online marketing is important. Why? Because there's different numbers, but 90, I even saw 97 recently, but anyway, let's just say 90% of all people looking for a local business look for it online. Now, they usually use Google, okay? So around 90%. Now, these numbers are different, and of course, different countries can be different, because I actually, several months ago, maybe about 6 months ago, I saw the term of 64%. But regardless, it's over 50% are looking for local businesses online. And what is online? On a computer, on a tablet, or a cell phone? And throughout this course, we're going to be talking about the ramifications of that, especially the mobile side, which is the tablets and cell phones. So if everyone's looking online, essentially, or almost everyone now, there are no yellow pages, you know, they aren't looking it up on yellow pages, online marketing is essential. Okay. So basically, as what I've been saying, there are simple steps to take, and that's what we're going to be doing, is simplifying and focusing. Okay? But as we simplify and focus, if you don't define what your objectives are, you can't simplify. Just like, for example, the examples I made of Instagram. If you don't know who your audience is, you don't know which social media to choose. Okay? Do you choose LinkedIn or Instagram? No. Yes or no? Yes, if it's part of your clientele. Or who your customers are. No, if it isn't. Well, then you have to know who your audience is. Who is your target audience? Who are the people that you really want to reach? Now, want to reach, we'll talk about this more, is a combination of who, really what floats your boat. What makes you sing, your heart sing? What makes you happy at the end of the day for helping people? And it doesn't matter if you're selling a widget or providing a service. Bottom line, the essence is there is a reason why you're doing what you're doing. There's a reason why you want to teach or help or provide a product or service. And that reason, hopefully, is your passion. And from that should be your audience. And it's important, though, to have an audience that is enough people, basically. So we'll talk about that more later on. Because if your audience is only 10 people out of the whole world, it's not much of an audience. So you have to juggle a little bit there. Okay. So these are the, excuse me, the questions to ask. Now, this list of questions I put into a Word document, which I also sent to you. So that's the fundamental marketing questions checklist. Now, this one really is what it says. It's fundamental questions. It really is the essence of the beginning. Now, you can just think about it, but it is more powerful if you actually type in to the document what it is. There's actually, you could if you wanted to handwrite it also. There's pros and cons to all of this. So typing it in, of course, means that you save it and then you have it for later. There's times when I've done things like this. I've made marketing plans and things like that, and I go back later and it's like, wow. Either it was a wow because, oh, I've evolved since then, or it's like, wow, this is pretty good stuff. So you always want to review it as you go along. But it'll help you focus. So who is your target market? Now, I'm going to use hypnosis as an example, but just realize that this is true for any business. Okay? Now, a hypnotist might say, well, I want anybody who likes hypnosis. okay, yes, and those of us who are hypnotists know that it can help anything practically, or almost anything, not exactly anything, but a lot. And that can be confusing to a lot of people, but it essentially is helping whatever obstacles they're in your brain. So any emotional obstacles or limiting beliefs can be released through hypnosis. Okay, that can affect a lot of things. But here's what I have my customers do, is to create specialties if they don't already have them, and to have 3 to 5 specialties. In some respects, the lower number is even better. And if you have one, that's okay too. What I have found is even people with specialties, even, you know, I've put up specialties on my website, and even with that, people call me for anything, you know, just the normal, oh, I need a hypnotist because, well, actually I had a race car driver, for example. I didn't have race car drivers on my list on the website, you know, but I got a call from actually the race car driver's manager. Who wanted hypnosis for the race car drivers. So now I am certified in sports hypnosis, which is very much that, but there's no way I could have thought of that one as a specialty, or I wouldn't have. It's just interesting. Anyway, although I did have a lot of racers of different things, bicycle racers, motocross, whatever. So when your target market, especially look at what is your passion. Now, here's a fascinating one. Smoking and weight loss are the 2 top reasons why people go to hypnotists. And I never was a smoker. So I thought, well, how can I help people like that? I never did that. Well, it turns out I'm extremely good at it. I'm really good at it. And actually, part of the reason is because I don't see them as a smoker walking in the door. I see them as a human who happens to smoke right now. Up till now. And I think that's a lot of it. So anyway, in target markets, really look at it. And while that wasn't my passion in the beginning, it became one of my passions. Because my first client that paid me was actually to stop smoking. So it worked very well. And this is fun. All right, so anyway, we will be talking much, much more about this, but this is the beginning of getting ready, okay? So what are their problems, wants, and needs? Is this your passion and life purpose? So notice that. And let me tell you also, passion and life purpose often comes from either problems you've had in your life or successes, either one. So it doesn't mean that it was just something that's wonderful and, you know, fabulous and all that. You could have had major problem about whatever the subject is. You overcame it. And then now this becomes what you want to help other people with. And that's a common way to reach your passion and life purpose. But they all can be tied together. Because if you have 3 target markets and maybe all 3 are a passion for you, great. Okay. So maybe it's 1, maybe it's 2, maybe 3, whatever, that type of thing. And I added here, actually, what are your emotional obstacles to being successful? And you have a way to release the obstacles. So, of course, if you know a hypnotist, obviously, that's a great way to release obstacles. There's a lot of ways to do that. But do you have a way to do it? So as an example, years ago, and all the newbies, I was a newbie also in the Chamber of Commerce, and our job was to give a little talk about ourselves. So I said whatever I said about me and all that. Then came up, obviously extremely nervous. He almost couldn't talk. He was so nervous. And he stumbled his way through presenting what he did. And later on we talked, and actually he became a client of mine. And I helped him release his emotional obstacles because he was passionate about his product. Passionate. But he needed to be able to talk to people in groups. I think if I remember right, it was a network marketing product. And he needed to make presentations. And we had a huge success with him. I won't go into details right now. Here he addressed his emotional obstacle and got rid of it. So that's important. Okay. Then, are you clear how you can help your audience? That's always helpful. So in other words, all of this is to become clear. And now, how much of your marketing budget are you willing to invest? A fair number of small business people don't think of marketing budget. They don't budget things. And it is, one of the things is about online marketing is it does cost. There's a lot of things that are free, but not everything's free. And as much as you're able to with a budget is good. And realizing that there are things to pay for. And then, of course, time. And you look at that. And, of course, there's a thing you can either pay someone to do the services if you don't have much time, if you have the money, or you can spend more time and pay less. And then hopefully with this class will help you focus so that you can do it quicker and easier so that you'll be using the least amount of time and money to accomplish what you need to accomplish. To, guess what, get more clients and or customers. Okay, and then as you go along, you can put in what are the online tools, the strategies, the methods. That could be just a place where you keep notes of what things will help you. Now, competitors, a lot of people, well, you know, there's room enough for everybody. You know, I don't have any competitors. Or I've also had customers say to me, I don't really have a competitor. Now, you may not think that you have a competitor, but people looking for you see competitors. Now, here, let me explain. Excuse me. When people are searching, so let's take it that I'm looking for somebody who does, who teaches something about the stock market. Okay, and let's say we have a person who has a new technique that's really different from that person's point of view. Okay, and it may be, once you really get it. But if I'm looking for stock market help, I don't know. So from my point of view, that person's the same as anybody else. So it still goes back to what am I, the consumer, typing in to, guess what, Google, in order for you to show up. That's the bottom line. So anyone who would show up is your competitor. Not as a and I don't see this as a negative thing. I'm saying this as a positive thing to understand the market. So it's helpful to know, not because we're trying to gouge anybody or anything of being competition or anything. It's just to understand what else is out there. What other choices do people have? And their choices are your competitors. Okay? So it's important to understand, what are you better at them? What are you not better at them than them? What are your competitive advantages and disadvantages? Are you better than them in a certain way? Or not in other ways? Okay? That's important to understand, and it still boils down to what are their choices. So if you don't happen to like the word competitor, think choice. What are the choices that people have when they type something into Google? And why Google is 90% of the market. Bing and Yahoo are the other search engines, and they're just a tiny, tiny piece of the market. People basically go to Google. So that's the one we have to concern ourselves with. And lastly, how are you going to test, track, and measure? So, for example, let's say you get a new client or customer, and your situation is such that you can talk with that person, or maybe you even have it on your order form, is how did you find me? And always try to find out how they found you. And so the measuring, see, that's testing, tracking, and measuring. That actually can be tracking. Is how did you find me? Oh, I did a search in Google. Oh, great. What did you, if you don't mind me asking, what did you type in? Oh, you know, I probably typed in, you know, hypnotist XYZ city. Okay, great, thank you. And you write that down. That's tracking. Now you know that this one person found you because they typed in hypnotist XYZ city, which is your city. And that's sometimes as simple as you need, okay? There's other ways, of course, to see how many people are actually clicking on your website, how long do they last, and all that. There's this thing called Google Analytics, where you can get a fair amount of data from that of, you know, who is coming to your website, not who as to who the person is, but where are they from, what country, you know, that type of thing, and how long do they stay on your website, which is a big deal to Google, and how many people actually clicked on your website. Those two pieces of information are very important to Google. They measure it, but they also provide that free of charge to you. And then, of course, what are you going to do with that information? So this is just a really nice thing that would be really great to start on during the class and use it to kind of put together your plan. And so it can be simple. A marketing plan can be really time-consuming and very complex and huge, or it can be simple. This is actually the beginning of a marketing plan. And if this is all you do, it's also pretty good. It's also quite good as a marketing plan. Okay, what I'm going to do is open it up for questions right now on anything I've said. If any, now you, most of you have the chat. You're online and you can actually type into the chat, or you can unmute yourself. We're not in the Q&A mode right now, so right now all you have to do is unmute yourself if anyone has any questions or comments so far.
Beverly, this is Christy.
Hi.
Oh, you can hear me good? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you fine, Christy.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say one thing, excuse me, about the competitor and the way you stated that as, people having a choice and not looking at it as competition. So that was very well put that, you know, because I never have like the word competition anyways, since we are that kind of society. So the way you explained it was really helpful for me.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw in a little bit about the gender brain science and gender brain chemistry that I'm an expert in, one of my specialties. Females, what drives us especially is the hormone oxytocin, which is the hormone of love and bonding, which is the opposite of competition.
Well, that makes
sense. Yeah, exactly. And it would make total sense that you're female and having that feeling. It's competition is uncomfortable for many females because it goes against oxytocin. Doesn't mean all females feel that way, of course. But it's actually it's quite interesting. I have a theory that it still involves oxytocin. If there's a woman who loves competition, it's possible she got that love from her father and had, that was love.
Mm.
Okay. And so deep down, it really means love. It really does increase their oxytocin because of that, I think. Now, this is just a theory. But anyway,
that kind of makes sense.
A little sideline.
Yeah.
But yes, that's why I said it because, yeah, it's just choices. Who are the other choices out there? In fact, since I gave this to you in Microsoft Word, you could just change your document and just say, yeah, what are the other choices?
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, great. So, now we're moving into what is it? Now, this is a little bit on the technical. So, this whole class is going to be involving a lot of thinking, feeling, and technical. It's like all of it. And I'll make the technical as easy as I can. It happens to be one of my specialties, one of my passions, is to be able to explain things in a way that a person can hear. So if I'm ever not doing that, always feel free to ask, because my joy comes in helping people really get it. Okay, see, notice how what I already did. What is my market? What are my audience? What are my passions that make it happen? Is that. So when I'm looking for my audience, that's part of it. Okay, so now we're into the basically kind of technical, or the logistical, if you want to maybe think of it that way, if the word technical sounds negative or brings up anything negative. Okay, in the center of this online marketing overview, I have marketing plans. See that in blue? Okay, and remember I said this fundamental marketing questions checklist, that essentially can be your marketing plan. Okay, it's a good beginning of a marketing plan. And if that's all you do, okay. One thing this is on the technical side, so I might even change this a little bit, to have marketing plan, then have audience, and then keywords. But anyway, I just thought of that right now. Because I was thinking more technical when I made this. But in some ways, I would like to do that. So you think about what is your marketing plan, which includes your audience, really. Then keywords. We will be working on keywords later on in another class. And so that will be very, very important, because keywords basically is, what does a person type into Google such that they find you? You hope they find you. And that's a lot of what online marketing is. Actually, quite a lot is, but we need to know what they type into Google. Okay? I'm going to say this many times over the class, because this is essential. I'll just give you a real quick idea. I hire and fire a lot of SEO people. I'm very picky about SEO. SEO is search engine optimization. Okay. It's basically all about how Google takes a person typing something in and shows them what they show them. Okay, so search engine optimization is to optimize. So hopefully your stuff is in the list of what Google shows a person. Okay, and keywords are essential to this. Now, what is a keyword? It just is what they type in. So anyway, I hired a person, and I gave them the task of finding keywords about hypnosis. And they presented as the top keyword, psychologist. And I said, well, no, just so you know, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, and I can't remember if it's for me or for my customers. None of my customers are psychologists. We are hypnotists, and that's all we do. And the crazy thing was the SEO person insisted that was the right keyword. I guess their ego wouldn't let them be wrong or something. I don't know. I fired that person immediately. But that's an example. If I hadn't thought about this, and they put in psychologist as the main keyword, that would have been ridiculous. People would have been searching. If they're searching for a hypnotist, they want to see hypnotists. If they're searching for a psychologist, okay, they might search for a psychologist who does hypnosis, maybe. I don't know that that's a strong keyword. But if they're searching for a psychologist, they're looking for a psychologist. Anyway. So that gives an example of why keywords are so important. Okay. Marketing copy means actually the marketing words. It's content marketing, the content. Well, marketing copy is the text. Okay, that's a kind of insider word, actually. It's a word from people who do copywriting, because that's what it's called, copy, meaning the text. Okay, so now, what do you do with it? All right, I'm going to actually start kind of at the top where it says blog and work my way counterclockwise. So blogs are one place to put your text and your other content, okay? Content marketing means blogs, it means pictures, so it's text, pictures, audio, visual, you know, video, all that. Okay. So blog, we'll go into that much more in another class, how important a blog is, okay? Google loves blogs, okay? Just know that. Website, you got to have a website. here's what happens. People, when they are looking for someone, they do the web search like we talked about. Then they look to see if you have a website. If you don't have a website, they think you're unprofessional. The only people that I have found that it's okay that they don't have a website is I know of a chiropractor who has so many clients, he can't hardly keep up with it. And he doesn't have a website because guess what? He doesn't need one. Okay? He has so many clients, he doesn't need any more. So his clients don't care. Why? They're all on referral basis. Okay. So you see, it does exist sometimes that it might be valid to not have a website. But if you need people to think you're professional to decide whether to go with you, you need a website. We're going to go into websites also in further classes. Then, directories. That's also down the road. A directory is like Yelp, Psychology Today. Yelp is probably the most famous one, although there's all kinds. Actually, Google Maps is a directory. If you think about it, what a directory is some form of a website that has a big list of a bunch of companies or professionals that people can search on. So, as I will say this many times over this class, is do a search as if you are one of your prospective customers looking for you. So you need to know how they're going to search, what are they going to type in, and then do it and see if you show up. And when you show up, or whatever shows up, look at what shows up. So for example, let's say Yelp shows up. Okay, guess what? Join Yelp. Or Psychology Today for hypnotists, it's actually a fairly common one that Psychology Today will show up. And they do allow hypnotists in there. It's open. It's a paid one. You get some months free, or you can, depending on whatever they're doing at this time. Then there is a payment, but it is a quite good, it has been a good one for some people I know. But if they're at the top of the list, guess what? That means they're very optimized for that search, and consider joining them. That's a directory. Okay, so just a directory is just a list of people of whatevers. Yelp started off especially with restaurants, but now they're opened up to quite a lot of professions. Okay, we're going to be talking about directories later on in the course, so that's just an introduction to it. Now, Google My Business is a big one, and that's also later on in the course. We will actually really get into that one. The Google Map itself, to get in there, it's called Google My Business, and it used to be called Google Places. Okay? I don't personally like Google My Business as a name, but that's what Google changed it to. So it's like, okay, they're the ones who decide whatever they want to name it. You need to be signed up with that if you ever want local clients or customers, anyone to find you locally. If you are working out of your home, then find a local business that will allow you to receive one piece of mail and allow that it's okay with them that your business also shows up on their address on the map. But that's a way around it if you work out of your home. It does not work to have a P.O. box. And there used to be a workaround that doesn't work anymore. I had the workaround. It didn't stop working. I won't go into it because it doesn't work anymore. But those are the two main ways to do it. So you have to receive mail, one piece of mail, at the address. And you don't want to use your home address probably unless you feel comfortable doing that. So it has to be an office or it has to be some other business that allows you to do this. Okay. And also you can't have a UPS store, no P.O. box of any kind, so not a UPS store either. It can't be a UPS store or a USPS. And other countries, it would be probably similar. Okay. Now, offline marketing, we're going to give you a bonus class in this course about offline marketing. So that is going, for example, doing a talk at your local your local chamber of commerce, your local library. It could be networking at groups like the Chamber of Commerce or any other networking group. We will have a special class taught by Susan Fox because she's an expert in that. I'm not. I'm the expert in online marketing. And another thing I want to just bring in about this. One thing about marketing is you do have some amount of choice of what you do. And what I'd like to say is consider choosing what you like. What do you enjoy doing? And what are you good at or bet you can get good at? So as an example with offline marketing, I would go to these networking groups and I was uncomfortable in terms of trying to talk up my business or something like that. And I really didn't do very well. In fact, there's one organization I belong to, and I would give presentations. They knew who I was. They liked my information. And I got one client for a whole year. So that's not very productive. So I gave up in terms of caring about it. So I had an option. I could have learned how to do it well. Or in my case, and I did make some effort, but I realized, online is what I'm good at. And so I ended up just continuing to go to the group just for fun. And that's what happened. So, I think it was one client a year. I was there for 2 years in that group. So offline marketing, though, can be fun. So anyway, Susan will help teach about that. It's not my specialty. Okay. Articles. Now, there is something called article marketing. And it's still okay to do a little bit of. It used to be very lucrative. It used to be very successful. And there were organizations called, or like an online website called ezinearticles.com. In fact, I'll type it into this. So it's ezineearticles.com. Okay, ezinearticles.com. Anyone listening to this recording afterwards, you don't see the chat, but anyone online right now will see the chat. Now, ezinearticles.com, like I said, it's E-Z-I-N-E, then articles.com. If you post an article there, at least one good thing is you're now a published author. So if you don't have anything else published, you can say, I'm a published author. And so it also gives you third-party recognition, so that's good. But it's not what it used to be. Google used to put those articles into the search results. Okay, when people do a search, if an article was, viable for that, they would put it into the search. And a few years ago, they decided not to anymore. Okay, because the spammers really took advantage, and so they decided no. And that's when the shift went toward blogs, away from article marketing. But it's still in there. It's still something you could do, fairly simple, if that makes sense to what your business is. I would not spend a huge amount of time on it, though, because it's not, like I said, Google is not putting those articles into the search criteria. Or the search results, I guess you should say. Okay, press releases is a good way to do it. The one thing about it is you pretty much have to go find somebody who can post it to the like PR, I think it's PR.com and all the expensive press release places. There's many different things you can do with press releases, actually. That's one way. And it is a good way. It's, from my point of view, what I'm running into is I have writers, of course, and writers typically will charge a fair amount more for a press release for good reason. There are a lot of things they have to think about when they write, and it's still decent. It's still good. It's actually quite good, but it's also, you're going to have to pay for the press release. So anyway, it's definitely something to consider. Okay, forum marketing is an interesting one. Okay, so you might belong to groups in Facebook or groups in LinkedIn, or let's just take Facebook because most people, typically their market is on Facebook. Not everyone, but let's just pick them for now. Because actually, if it's not Facebook, it's going to be LinkedIn pretty much. But anyway, so let's say you're in a group. I'll just pick hypnosis. No, that's not a very good one. Let's pick weight loss. Okay, that's a good one. So let's say one of your specialties is weight loss. Whatever you do, maybe you have products for that, maybe hypnosis, whatever. Okay, and you're in a weight loss forum. Forum means, is the general term. So forum is the term, but for example, in Facebook, it's a group. In Google Plus, it's an organization. So everyone has, they call it different things. The important thing is that it's a very difficult way to do it in a way. It's very good if you can do it. You need to be giving great information so that people get to know who you are. And they realize, oh, you know, Beverly Taylor, she's really good at this. She really gives great information. And so this takes time. Now, if you love doing this, great. But forum marketing, while it is a good way to get people, it's also very time consuming. But it is, if that's your love of doing things, okay. So what happens is people don't want to be marketed to in forums. In fact, there are many forums that will kick you out immediately as soon as you try to market anything of yourself or your products or whatever. Usually the rule is no marketing, no selling of anything. So the only way to, in a sense, sell is maybe they allow a description about yourself, you know, like a signature, maybe. Some do, some don't. And if so, you have it in the signature. Otherwise, the only other way really is you can post something and somebody says, oh, I need help with, you know, losing the first 10 pounds. And maybe you can say, oh, and gives a lot of good information. If you want more information, PM me. You know, in other words, send me a message or direct message me or whatever the term is on that forum. You know, send me a private message. And then I can help you more. And then you can carefully present it and say that, yes, I do make money off this, but this is a great product or service, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but that's only in private messaging. Okay, so that's forum marketing. Now, advertising, here's an interesting thing. Advertising works well in two ways. It's one of the fastest way to get people, but only if you do a good job and you pay attention and you analyze. So you pretty much have to know what you're doing and keep analyzing and keep paying attention, yet it's a fast way to get people to do whatever. You know, maybe you want them to click through to a website. Maybe you want them to click to an opt-in page to get a free ebook so they get as a subscriber to your website. with Facebook, maybe it's just to get more likes in your Facebook group. I'm sorry, Facebook page. A lot of different possibilities, okay? You can get advertising through Facebook or Google itself. Google AdWords is what it's called. And in general, I would tend to recommend Facebook over Google because they have a better way to get the interests of the person. They have a better way to get the demographics. Because when you sign up for Facebook, you basically tell them what your income level is, whether you're male, female, whether, you know, what groups you're in. So they pay attention to the groups you're in. And if I'm in, let's say, 10 weight loss groups, and somebody's advertising somebody of my age in the United States who are interested in weight loss, guess what? Okay. Now, The interesting thing is I'm interested in weight loss only because I sell a product, but that's okay. You know, oh, well, a product and a service. They don't know that. So there's a little bit there, you know. It's not perfect, of course. But it is a way to get faster results if you know what you're doing. And so it's kind of really better to pay someone who knows what they're doing to make it happen. And I'll tell you, because I actually had that happen to me years ago, the first time I did advertising, and it was with Google. And for every dollar I spent on the ads, I got $75 back in products that were bought. Now, that was the first level of products. I did get a subscriber. Okay, so I did not actually analyze at the time whether those subscribers ever bought a second product. But it was for one of my niches that I really didn't have much of a second product anyway. So you really have to think that through. Okay. Email marketing, and what I'm finding is a lot of small businesses ignore this one, but it is incredible. How else can you really keep up a relationship? How can you create a relationship with a lot of people remotely? And email marketing is a great way to do it. They begin to see who you are. They begin to feel that you're really a real person if that's how you write, and that's important. And it's just really great. One of my mentors, he makes over $500,000 a year. And the main way is because he creates a relationship via email. And he's helpful. Okay, so just as an example, it's kind of a great thing to do. And then I put here more Google apps because Google has huge amount of applications. And I just want you to know that. And the next page, I'll show you more about that. And one thing, it's funny, when I put in keywords, I should have also said SEO. So actually, if you printed your document, I would just add to keywords SEO, SEO, search engine optimization. Okay, now, social media is its own animal. And it can be really good. So notice I have Facebook, Google+, YouTube, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn. Now there's others. We've already talked about Instagram. And why I don't have it here is because it, from my point of view, for most myself and most of my customers, it's not a place to do anything. Okay. It's different if I were selling, you know, the hottest video game, well, yeah, it's a great place to market, you know, because that's teenager or the 20-somethings would be great, but I'm not selling that. So if I were selling a product that they really, really want to buy, you know, really for them, okay, but when I'm selling hypnosis, well, that's really what the parent is going to look for, so no reason to go to that. So that's why with this, you really have to think it through, and this is also quite a lot. Now, one thing you can do is whenever you post to Facebook, you can post the exact same post to Google+. Now, Google+ is an interesting one. It was Google's answer to Facebook. That's how it started. And it's okay. It's not bad. It's good. But Google itself is wishy-washy, and they keep changing their minds as to whether it's how important it is to their company or not. And they're going back and forth. And in the space of 1 year, I heard that they switched or flip-flopped, I think, twice as to whether they cared or not about it. So it's an interesting one. YouTube is important. Videos are important. They are going to grow, and that's why we're going to be learning more about that in this class, because that's a growing field. Twitter's an interesting one. I have gotten customers from Twitter. I'm not sure. And so with that one, you have to maybe try it out and see. One thing about Twitter I want to say is I've talked to small business people, solopreneurs about Twitter, and they say, oh, I don't want to tweet about what I ate for lunch today. Well, it has nothing to do with that at all. There's no reason to do that. So that's kind of somehow what people got the idea about. And yes, there are people like the Hollywood celebrities. Yeah, they tweet about, oh, you know, I'm eating dinner at this fancy restaurant. Okay, well, that's part of their world, and that's okay. But for a business person, it has nothing to do with that. So it is good, and I didn't used to like it. Now I actually really enjoy it a lot. But, you know, I would say Facebook is more important. Facebook and YouTube are much more important than Twitter. Pinterest is an interesting one. If your market, your audience, is, let's say, women over 40 who love arts and crafts, that's a great place to go, okay? Now, it's growing and it's broadening. They are going after the business market much more so. So it's not only women anymore, and so the percentage of male-female is changing. Probably the age is going a little younger, a little. I don't have the current numbers, but I'm going to guess it's going to be down to the 30s. So it's a growing one, and it is definitely something to consider. LinkedIn, we already talked about that, because only if your market is business, that's the place to be in. But if it isn't, enjoy it for your own personal reasons, but otherwise it's not where to market. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next page, which is about Google, but let me ask right now, does anyone have any questions or comments about this page or slide? Okay, I don't see anyone unmuting themselves. Okay, next one. Here's one thing. So I put together a whole bunch of stuff about Google. I'll tell you about a book I wrote on content marketing. And it says, because in the market, in the internet marketing world, they say content is king. Well, so I wrote a book, and it was about content marketing, and I said, content is queen, Google is king, and the king loves the queens. I really like that name. It's a little long, but I like the name of that book. Anyway, what is important to know is that Google has a huge amount of applications. So sometimes people say, well, you know, I know what Google search is. Oh, yeah, well, that's one application. You know, people know Google Search and they know the Gmail. Okay, well, those are two. And as you notice, I put a whole bunch more here, a whole bunch more. And, wow, it's I don't want to go into talking about every single thing here. And they do come and go. Google keeps on changing. They keep on making something, like I told you about Google Plus. Sometimes it's important, sometimes it's not. And I'm on some newsletters of people who are experts in all this, and I learn about it. You know, what's okay. There's a lot you can do if you ever want to. Now, the Google Keyword Planner, we will deal with keywords later on, and that's something I highly recommend that you learn. It's confusing at first, but once you learn it, it's easy because you have to ignore all the AdWords or the advertising stuff. It's trying to force you to place an ad, but if you ignore that, you actually can get done what you need to do. Just don't fill out everything is basically the way to do it, and we'll talk more about that. Okay, Google Analytics is kind of cool. There's all kinds of things. Okay, the Chrome browser now, just a little secret if you want. If you ever do Google Hangouts, in the video capability, and that's on the top right of the screen. If you ever do, I forgot I could show you, there's the Hangouts. You need to use the Chrome browser. Okay? So, you know, just a little bit of tidbits. I don't use the Hangouts because I find them a little tough and difficult technically, and so it's kind of famous for that. But anyway, if you ever do, that's what you want to do. Chrome browser has a lot of benefits. If you do Google Drive, which I use a lot, Okay, Google Drive has an app that you can actually install on your hard drive so that it saves a lot of the files, or however many you want, on your hard drive, but it will share them with Google Drive. And then if you have multiple people in your company like I do, then everybody can share the same files. And if so, if you don't use the app and you use a browser, then the Chrome browser works better. They have added functionality, of course. You know, they want you to use their products, so they make it that if you use Google Drive, then the Chrome browser gives you the ability to drag and drop files as opposed to upload downloads. Okay. Google Voice is an interesting one. Now, last I knew, Google Voice is only in the United States. But what it does is gives you a phone number, and then when people call that phone number, it will forward to your number. So when I moved to a different area with a different area code, I wanted people to think that I was local, because I was. And so, but yet I have my cell phone from way back when I lived, you know, somewhere else a long time ago. So I wanted them to see a local number. Now this was, well, even somewhat true now, because if I want to get local clients, they want to feel comfortable that you're local and not that they're, do I have to drive over, you know, 2 hours away from here? You know, no, that type of thing. So I got a Google Voice. It's technically free to get the number, but you do pay for every minute. But if there's some reason why, or you want to hide your cell phone number or anything like that, Google Voice is a good way to go. Also, its voicemail is interesting because it sends it to your email address, and then it tries to transcribe it. It's kind of funny. It doesn't do a great job, but hey, it tries. So sometimes then I can actually look at what they wrote, and I can understand enough of what the phone call was about. So I just want to let you know about that. So you see, there's a lot of functionality that Google has that people don't know about. Okay? Those are the main things. Oh, I misspoke earlier. I said Google, that Google Plus, they have communities. I think I said the wrong word. I said it organizations. Let's see, anything else? No, that's pretty much it. But the most important thing I just wanted to say here is that they're famous for their search engine, they're famous for Gmail, but they have a whole bunch of other things. Okay, and the algorithm is what's so important. That's the huge computer program that figures all this out and decides when someone types in hypnotist San Francisco, where to send them, for example. You know, who to show, what to give them. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to switch it into the, what is it called? I forgot the name of it. into our the ability to do Q&A. Now, the purpose of the Q&A is for you to be able to ask anything about online marketing. That's my concept. First, I'd like to have anyone who has any questions or comments about what I've talked about. And then after that, anyone who has anything about online marketing, we have another 45 minutes that we can do to ask anything about your business that would be helpful to you. So in order, I'm switching it to Q&A. Okay, so what this means is if you want to ask a question, you, I forgot how to do this again. I think you go to the attendee list, which is the three people. Christy or Susan, do you remember how to do that? I apologize, I forget how to do that. Or you click on your microphone, I think that's it. I forgot. Anyway, you can click on your microphone to unmute yourself. You can also do a star six. Okay, I have one. Okay, Christy. Good. Thank you. Hi, Christy.
Okay, that just went into, instead of having the microphone, it went into a red person like to answer the questions, but, and I just wanted to let you know that. So
good. Thank you. Yeah. Cause I forgot what it looks like to you.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Good. Okay. So if anyone has any questions or comments about online marketing, feel free to ask. And in the future, you can also ask for that. If anyone wants to ever have a website review or a review of any of their online marketing, that's also something that can be requested during the Q&A session. And my plan is that the Q&A is not going to be part of the anything that I package up to sell. Is I won't be including the Q&A, unless maybe pieces, but I'll make sure that it's okay or things like that. But that's my plan, so that you can, you know, if you feel comfortable showing things to your, to the other people in the class, that's the only people who will see it, is the plan. Okay, any other, anyone else? Okay, what I'm going to do is end the recording now.